Episode 30. Get out of here, Satan. What up, everybody? Big 30 tonight. Nice round number, you know what I'm saying? So for this episode, we want to talk about something very important. But before we do, let's pray. So close your eyes, bow your head. Dear God, we love you so much, God, and we praise you and we thank you, Lord. And as we enter into this season, Lord, this Easter season, God, Lord, I pray that we would acknowledge the love you showed us, Lord, when you sent your son down to die on the cross and to rise again 3 days later, Lord, to save us, Lord. Lord, you have given us the chance to receive eternal life, Lord, and I pray that everyone listening, Lord, would recognize that chance, Lord, that we all have to spend eternity with you, God. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, the Holy Spirit would use me and Chris as a vessel to broaden the horizons, Lord, for people to find a new reason to live and a new reason to serve and to seek you and to chase after you, God. Lord, I pray that we would help people to just reach out after your love, Lord, and to find it, Lord, and to feel it in their heart and be surrounded by it every single day, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you, God. In your almighty name we pray. Amen. All right. So tonight we're going to talk about a little John action. One of the Gospels, you know.
Little John.
Okay. Personally, probably one of my favorites. John is just so fire. It's just, you know, the story of Jesus walking on this earth. And you know, It really touched my heart a lot this week because, you know, like I said, we're in the Easter season, so we're about to be celebrating in about 15 days the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And honestly, without him, none of us would be here, you know, because we're just born sinners, you know. We're born broken and disgusting. Every day we mess up, but every day we have a chance for redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. So I think tonight we're just going to talk about that a little bit. Tonight we're going to just do our best to convey a message of love, the love that he showed us. Well, really, the love that God showed Jesus, and then Jesus then conveyed to us. And now we are able to attain it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So tonight, just kind of focusing on probably John 14 and 15, maybe more. I don't know. We'll see where the Spirit leads, but I just wanted to start off with reading a little bit of John 14 to give you some... Well, I'll give you some context first. Let's get into that first. So basically, leading up to this, like, Jesus knows he's about to die. Like, he's very aware that he's about to go up on that cross and he's going to atone for all our sins. He's going to take the weight of our sins. And in this moment, you know, it would be real easy for him to be like, dang, y'all sold me out, you know, after all I'm trying to do for you, you're over here just selling me out for some silver. But Jesus shows his love for us, because even though he knows that his own disciples, the people he chose, some of them have turned on him already and some of them will turn on him, and he knows this full-heartedly, but he's still willing to step onto that cross for each and every one of us, because he knew that this sacrifice he's making right in that moment is gonna, for years, thousands and thousands of years, to this day, his sacrifice still holds so much weight, because it's the reason we are able to live as sinners, you know, and be saved and then step away from the sin to receive his grace. So basically, you know, he gathers all his disciples, gets them together, and he's telling them, like, hey, like, it's almost time for me to go, but don't worry, I'm not leaving you alone, you know what I'm saying? And so in John 14, it starts off, it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be there with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." So basically, Jesus is just letting them know, look, don't worry, your place is made in heaven, you know, and because you know me, you got a place there too. And so it goes on to say, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So that first little chunk of John 14 is just so fire to me, you know. I'd say probably the most influential verse in that is verse 6, and it says, "I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus is telling you, look, you're saying you don't know how to get to God, how to get to heaven, but it's me. You have seen me, you've experienced me, you've been with me, you've walked with me, you've seen how I lead by example. So you shouldn't question how to get to God, because you have experienced God. You know, Jesus came back to earth, God in the form of man, you know. So he's just trying to reassure his disciples, you know, like, look, y'all will be okay. You know God now. You've known me, you know God. And in receiving the life that Jesus brought them, that life isn't just while they're on earth. That's going to be forever in heaven. They're going to spend eternity with God because of their interaction on earth with Jesus. So I think that's the goal that we're preaching in this season of Easter. It's like, look, while we're on this earth, we need to know Jesus, you know? And how do we know Jesus today? It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus died on that cross, he left, but he didn't just leave us hanging. He left the Holy Spirit behind. And the Holy Spirit is what then connects us from earth to heaven. It's like a bridge, you know? It connects our body to the body of Christ. And so when Jesus, you know, was speaking to them, it was just such a comforting thing, you know, because it's like a lot of people would be like, dang, it must be so easy for them to have faith and believe and all this stuff, because they got to see Jesus and they got to see God and they got all this stuff. But it's like, so do we. We get to experience him every single day through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, and once we receive that power of the Holy Spirit, then it's our job to reassure those who don't know where they're going to end up, you know, the people in our life who don't know about heaven, or the people that don't really care. It's our job to live in a way that shows them the love that Jesus showed us, you know. So that's just a little intro to this episode.
Yeah, I definitely can go off a few things that Wally was talking about there. First thing I wanted to read, though, is jumping in way ahead, and it's because how Wally started out. He said kind of the main purpose of the book of John, right, is just knowing that Jesus is the Son of God. And it actually literally says that in John chapter 20, verse 30 through 31. It says the purpose of this book, and that's not to be confused. That's not to be confused with the purpose of the entire Bible, although maybe you can make the argument that it is also the purpose of the entire Bible. But the purpose of the book of John, why John is saying the reason he wrote this book, to what I was saying, he says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Right? And so John really wrote this book, right, to that's the whole point of it, right, is that you're going to come to this conclusion that Jesus is the Son of God, right, which each book has its main purpose and the reason it was written and all that stuff. And honestly, I think that's why it's like right now, especially in this season, right, we're coming up on Easter pretty quickly here, and I think in this season it's super good to be in John. I'm in John in one of the Bible studies. I do a Bible study on Saturday with Nick. Shout out Nick. He's been on the pod. and Remo, shout out Remo, he's been on the pod too. We're doing a Bible study together, and we're going into John. We went into a few other books as well. But it's really just super neat. And so one thing though that Wally did bring up, right, is like, so the whole book, right, is we're just trying to get to this conclusion that Jesus is the Son of God. And I think, like I heard it said before, it was like it took the apostles like an unbelievable amount of time to get to that conclusion themselves, especially, right, because Wally brings up, he's like, if you want to if you feel bad about where you are in your faith, don't, because the apostles were literally with Jesus for 3 years, day and night, watching him perform miracles. And what is it right here, right? It's hold on. It is John. Oh wait, I'm my bad, wrong chapter. Busy guy. Philip, right? So Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip?" So right there is evidence, right, that one of his apostles, Philip, at least we know Philip, which I'm guessing there were other apostles who were still there, right? Because especially when you read like Matthew and stuff, it's like over and over again, he's just like, "Are you serious?" Like after all the miracles I performed, right? And they'll still question Jesus, right? And they'll still, you know, be like not knowing him as the Son of God. Right. And so right there, you have evidence, though, right, that Philip, after being all this time, right, it's obviously coming to the end of Jesus' life. So he's been with him for a while, still doesn't know who Jesus is, because he says, "Just show me the Father." And Jesus is like, "Are you kidding me, dude? Like, you're with him right now, right? Like, I'm," that's when he says, right, "Show us the Father. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me?" He's, and then he just, that's his response to Philip is, "Dude, you're looking at him, right? Like, the Father is in me and I'm in the Father." Right, like right now in this very moment, you're witnessing the Father, right? Because, right, it's this, it's our whole faith, right? The Trinity, that Holy Trinity. And can you imagine, like, because Jesus never says, like, "Yeah, I'm God." You know, he doesn't say those exact words ever. It's like, he'll say, like, "I'm the Son of Man." He actually, in the Bible, which is pretty neat, is he never refers to himself as the Son of God. He only refers to himself as the Son of Man. It's other people who say he's the Son of God, and then he'll say, "If you say it so," and stuff like that, where he'll, like, allude to, like, yes, like, that's correct, like, I am, right? The Father is in me, right? And we were still sick out here, you know what I'm saying? That suffer and rejoice, right? And so, I don't know, I think I just bring up that point to say, like, it takes time. I think that faith takes time. And, you know, right after this, right, Jesus goes into to promising the Holy Spirit, and that's still in 14, and all this other stuff, right? And then with that Holy Spirit, right, comes all these other gifts and all this other stuff, right? But I say, like, for myself, it's like I didn't literally walk with Jesus on this earth, right? It's like I've walked with Jesus. Technically, I guess I have, right? Jesus lives, right? Jesus is alive. So I do. I walk with Jesus to this, on this earth today. Me and Jesus get to walk together. And I've seen him, like, perform all these miracles in my life and in my friends' lives. And I've seen him answer these prayers. And I've seen him do these great works. And then I can still get to a place where, like, life isn't going my way. Or, like, it's just like I'm just like Philip, dude. I'm just like, "Where's the Father at?" You know what I'm saying? Jesus is like, "Dog, I'm right here." You know what I mean? Like, I can still be at that place of, like, not knowing who my friend is, right? Like, Jesus, Wally just read that today, which is, you know, one of my favorite verses, actually, is where he talks about, like, we're becoming his friends, but also knowing who my Father is, you know? And then that if I know the Son, that I also know the Father, because they're one, right? And if I have the Holy Spirit, and I know the Holy Spirit knows me, then so does Jesus. Jesus also knows me. And then I also know Jesus, right? And I think it's just when I was reading this today, which I've read it a couple of times, but when I read it today, that's really what stood out to me was that little interaction that Philip has with God of, like, still not knowing. And I wanted to say this is, like, I listened to John Piper one time, and he said, like, his whole theory of, like, why John writes this book the way he does was because he was upset that it took him so long to get to that point himself, right? But then coming to that true conclusion where you truly believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God brought all this light into his life and all this joy and all of the, it was, you know, like when Jesus resurrects and then gives them all the Holy Spirit, right, which you read about in Acts, is really when the huge transformation happens in their lives, right? And that the Son of God really becomes glorified and all of this stuff, right? And John says it's like, that's why, like, in the beginning of the book of John, right off rip, he plays no games. He goes straight into the Word, right? Like, he'll say, I don't got to paraphrase, I got it right here, so I might as well just read it. Right, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's his first line in the whole book, because right off rip, he's kind of just like, I don't want to play any games, and I don't want anyone to be as confused or have to wait 3 years of Jesus performing all of these miracles right in front of them for them to know, right? It's like, I want them to know right now that all the things that Jesus has already done, and then, like, when you start walking in your own faith and you start walking with Christ, he starts performing those same miracles, right, to this very day. And not to jump too much, but I just want to point out something that's super neat that I really got, like, that God really just revealed to me whenever I was reading this. So, back to the Holy Trinity. I feel like if you really want to, like, grow closer to that Trinity and that conception, as far as anything that's helped me, it's definitely been the book of John. Right, and he says, though, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So right off the bat, you make the distinction that God is not the Word, right? Because he says it was with God, the Word was with God, right? So you've automatically made this distinction about how we talk about that there's three persons. So right there, you know, there's two separate persons, right? Because there's the Word who was with God. But then right after that, what does it say? It says, and the Word was God. So the Word is also God, right? And then so right there, you bring in that part of it where it's like, they're the same God, right? Like, it's the one body, but you've got the two separate persons, right? And so when you see the Word, right, the Word is Jesus, the Word became flesh, right? And so the Word is separate from the head, the Father, right? The Father is separate from the Word. The Word was with God, Jesus was with God, but God, Jesus is also God, which you can get real into some real trickery with that. But what I would really want to say about that before I give the mic back and we're going to stick to 14, but I wanted to just say that what I really want to say before moving on is, like, understanding the vastness of God, and that if you want more proof that this isn't a man-made God, it's right there, because who in their right mind is creating that? Who in their right mind is going to sit down? You know, John, all the credit to John, in God made a beautiful person out of him or whatever. I can't imagine that he's so smart that he would sit there, meditate on a God that he's creating in his head. And then his thing where it's like, yeah, I'm going to get people to believe this is, I'm going to say he's Logos, right? Logos is the Word. And then I'm going to say that he was with God, but I'm also say that he was God, and then that he became flesh. Like, no one in their right mind would create that God. It's that has to be from God, right? Like, and then you get to, I think, dwell on the Creator a little bit more with that, of like, wow, like, he's so much more beyond what I could ever comprehend, right? It's like they call it the mystery, right? Like, just the mystery that I couldn't ever fathom in my head, but gives me so much, like, life to know my God is that far beyond me, you know? I don't know anyone who would want to go out of the way to preach this, right? Like, you would get so, like, it's so easy to get persecuted with Jesus, right? Like, that's an easy thing to get persecuted with, because it honestly doesn't make human sense, because it's an infinite God beyond us, right? But it is definitely the one true God.
There you go.
Yeah. Heavy. Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's a lot.
You really opened a can of worms on that one.
Yeah.
Nah, but that's so real, because I feel like a lot of times when I get the most in my own way is when I'm really trying to understand what's going on. You know, the minute I step away from the Word and I dive into my own head, that's when I get so lost and confused, and I feel like my faith kind of, what's the word, withers? Is that the word I'm looking for? A little wither?
Dies a
It kind of, a little, that's a good word, huh? Because I'm just like, I'm trying to put the God of the universe, the creator, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit into this little box that can fit into my little brain, you know? But it's like, I don't have to do that. God has already said who he is. His word tells us exactly who he is, what he did, what he's going to continue to do. And regardless of if you understand everything or not, that doesn't change who God is, you know? So it's a lot of times I feel like we get in our own way because we want to intellectualize everything. We want to figure everything out. You know, we want to rationalize it to a way that makes sense to us. But that's not our job. Our job is to be devoted to his word, to dive into his word on a daily basis, because that's how he's going to feed our spirit. And through hearing this story of Jesus walking on this earth, when you read these miracles he performed, when you read the humility he expressed in these actions, and the way that he loved these disciples, the way he loved every single person he came and encountered, you know what I'm saying, on this earth, it's something that you won't experience today. Like, you won't experience that even from the most Christian man you'll ever meet, you know? The love, the sacrifice, the genuine love that Jesus exemplified in this book. It's something that only can be from God, you know? This word is God speaking to us, and that's what we have to take it as, you know? We read it, we meditate on it, we pray on it, and then we repeat. If you still don't get it, read it again. Because all you're going to do is gain from it. You're never going to lose anything from reading God's word. You know, and just this week, you know, it's like I've been trying to read the Old Testament. Because, you know, I finished the New Testament. Yes, sir. But every time I start reading the Old Testament, and then, like, just for example, like last night when me and Chris talked about, we were, you know, going to talk about John. I figured, let me just refamiliarize myself real quick. Let me just get back in John for a little bit. So me and my lady, we read a little John 14:15 last night. And the first thing I said to her when we got done reading is like, I love the New Testament because Jesus is there. You know, the comfort and the love I feel just from hearing the name Jesus, just from hearing what he did on this earth. Like, it warms my heart on a deeper level, you know, because I think about in the Old Testament, they hadn't really experienced Jesus. Like, Jesus wasn't there yet. He hadn't come yet. So it's like, they had to do a lot just to, like, it was very law based, you know, it wasn't very relational. It wasn't a lot of love. It was a lot of do good or feel his wrath, you know. But now it's like Jesus is here and he's covered us. You know, he's placed an umbrella over us, and it protects us from the trouble that we deserve. And even though, you know, in this time, you know, he's about to die. But what does he do? He washes the feet of his disciples, you know? And he knows for a fact that Judah wasn't Judah? Judas? Wait, who betrayed him? Judah?
Judas.
I always get those two confused. But Judas is about to betray him, and he knows that. He's about to sell him out. Still wash his feet. He knows that Peter tells him straight up. He says, look, bro, you're doing all this hooping and hollering, but I know before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. But what does he do? Still washes his feet. And Peter was the loudest in the room, bro. Peter over here cutting guards' ears off, you know, really showing out, trying to show that he's about Jesus instead of truly just accepting what Jesus has said. Look, this is what's going to happen. Walk in obedience and everything's going to be taken care of. You know me, you know the Father, you're going to heaven. Trust my plan, you know? And I feel like that's what a lot of us do. That's what I do sometimes, you know? I try to be a Peter. And when things don't start going the way that I want them to or I see they should, I might cut a little guard's ear off, you know what I mean? I might get a little angry, a little rowdy.
Boy slashing ears.
But, you know, that's not what I'm called to do. And it's because of this word that I'm able to check my actions, you know? I'm able to reflect on how I walked through this day. And I can see where I was wrong, and I can see in places where I can improve based off the example that Jesus has laid out for me, you know? And that's, like, the biggest thing, you know? It's like, we're called to abide in the love of Jesus, you know? And abide's a crazy word. I don't really know what that means all the way, but it's a great word. Look it up for me, Chris. I think it's so important to just remain in Jesus. You know, it says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And it says that Jesus is the true vine, you know. God is the gardener, Jesus is the vine. And we must stay connected to that vine in order to truly grow and bear the fruits that God can bring us.
Read the highlighted part, that's the best.
All right, Chris put up abide for me. It says to dwell, remain, be present, and be held and kept. So it's perfect,
held.
Actually.
Be held, that's fire.
Yeah.
Papa.
Like your papa holds you. Like big papa holds you.
Papa hold you.
No, but literally remain in me as I also remain in you. So God's within us. So we got to choose to be in him, you know. And that's a conscious choice we have to make every single day as followers. Because I can tell you firsthand, there's a lot of days where I wake up and I'm like, I got to do this again. Like, God, it's been 2 years now. Like, don't you know that I'm abiding in you? Do I really have to make that decision? Do I really have to say the prayer? And do I really have to read your scripture? And yeah, I do. Because if I'm not connected to the vine, nothing good's going to come. There's going to be no fruit. I'm just going to be out here just free falling. You know, it's going to be just a waste of a day, you know, because God has given me this day. Why wouldn't I do my best to remain in him as he's been there for me, even on days when I didn't want to be there for him? So it's just some cool stuff, bro.
Yeah. And so I'm going to go back into talking about Philip again. I think honestly a lot of people can relate to Philip. And so like one thing you'll hear people say, right, is God is steadfast and he's faithful and patient. And I think you really see that example right there with Philip, right? It's like, can you imagine, like, 3 years you've been seeing all of these miracles perform? He walked on water in front of Philip. Can you imagine a human being walked on water in front of you? And then you're still just like, that was sick, but, like, what else you got? You know what I'm saying? Is there more? Like, is there something else you can do, right? Like, that had already happened by the time Philip is saying this. And Jesus doesn't go, you know what I mean? It was like, that's like, Jesus could have just been like, if you don't got it now, like, you're never gonna get it. I'm done. Like, I have done more than enough for you to believe in me. Like, there is no reason you should not understand this concept that I'm the true Son of God. You know, he dwells in me, I dwell in him. Like, he patiently just starts explaining again. Just, you can just imagine just patient little Jesus, just like, you know, he just sits there and he just starts breaking it down. Once again, he's just like, Philip, like, I, like, the Father's in me, I'm in the Father. And it even ends with, or else believe. So it says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Right? And so he's like, believe me because of my word, right? Or just believe me because of the works that you see, you know? And then right after that, right, it goes into, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, right? And so what that's basically saying, right, is like, because we have unbelieving hearts, and it's not hard, I think, in this world to have an unbelieving heart, because we're surrounded by this sin, and you know, the world is out there, and devil's still the prince of the air, right? And we have our evil flesh, right, that's constantly a battle for us. There's a lot of ways that our heart can be made hard, and we can have unbelieving hearts. But it's the fact that Jesus does still live today, that there are still miracles that happen. I go to this different Bible study on Monday, and one of the men there, he said that he went on a mission trip to Haiti, and in Haiti, they don't have, like, they don't have like EMTs and stuff like we do in America. Like in America, if someone's having a heart attack, you're not, your first reaction isn't going to be, let's pray over him and heal him, right? Like your first reaction is like, let's call 911 and get a doctor over here. And he said in Haiti, it's like they don't really have that option. And so what they have is Jesus Christ, right? Like that's who they have to believe in. And he said what happened was this person fell on the ground, starts having a heart attack in the middle of the street, and it was just a bunch of believers ran over to him and then prayed over him, just kept praying over him. And they said he literally stood up like nothing ever happened and walked away. Like nothing had ever even happened. And so it was like right there that Jesus still living on this earth. It wasn't because those people had some great spectacle that they could do. Like they didn't have some magical powers. It was because Jesus still walks on this earth and they proclaimed in the name of Jesus Christ that this man would be saved. And Jesus listens because it's his true believers. It's his chosen, the people that he has chosen out. And then what that does is now people around them, right? It's like, how'd you just do that? Oh, I didn't do that. Jesus did that. Right. And then so now you have that where we have so much opportunity for unbelief. It's like we also have so much opportunity for belief because he is still here. Right. And I think we still struggle with that, you know, and you'll instantly feel that presence, you know, like you'll know it was Jesus because you'll feel him, like you'll know he's there with you right then during whatever miracle might happen. Right. And me and Wally have shared our experiences. Right. Like God literally performed a miracle in me. I had super bad addiction problems and I never thought I would get over them, and because Jesus proclaimed it, it's gone. Like I don't think about drinking, I don't think about drugging, you know, and I have this newfound obsession of following the Father, like following the Son. Like it literally changed me completely as a person, him taking that evil out of me, you know, and then replacing it with that Holy Spirit. You know, I became obsessed with something completely different, a new creation, right? And it goes on later to say that that is a way that believers will know that he's true, is from the fruits that his people bear. You know, but just going back to my man Philip here, it's like, yeah, I don't know, like 2 years into this maybe, and it's like I still get an unbelieving heart where it's like I can get down on my knees and it's like, where are you, God? For completely forgetting about all of the miracles and all of the beautiful things he's done in my life and all the countless people that I've seen get new life and become new creations in a time of suffering and pain, I can really quickly go to, dude, where are you at? You know what I mean? And then it's, God doesn't turn around and be like, well, you didn't get it up to this point. Wrath, lightning, you know, like he's so patient with me. And that's what I love about our Father, you know, like that's what I love about him, is that he is still patient and he is still like, he'll just go into his explanation of just like, hey dude, Father's in me, I'm in the Father, like you're gonna be all right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like and then it's literally like it's not that, like, honestly I don't think I'm like that strong. I think it's more Jesus like steps into the equation and he pulls me back out, right? Like, and then just renews that faith and builds that heart, right? And then I think as far as like the way, the truth, the life, actually you got something. Okay, so a lot of times like I read scripture and like how Wally was saying is like, you know what I mean, like I get in my head and I'm like, that's so confusing, like what do you mean, like you're the way, the truth, and the life. Right, and I've talked before about the truth to an extent, and I'm going to get into that. The way, I think, is really explained nicely, right, already, is because he's saying, I'm making a room for you, and they're like, how are we going to know which way to go, right? And Jesus is just saying, like, follow, you're just going to follow Jesus. And if you say, well, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Because, you know, I personally can get this deep easily. I just keep asking why. So then I'll ask myself, well, what does that look like for a person to follow? I want to follow Jesus, but what does that look like? Well, it's just doing the things, living the life that he lived, right? Like he walked on this earth, and following him would just be doing the same things that he does, preaching the word, praying, right? Like Jesus was in constant prayer all the, like there's a bunch of scripture where he separates himself completely 100% from all the apostles, from all the people he's helping, and he goes and he spends time alone with his Father. So he's constantly praying here. he's reading the word. He's reading Old Testament, right? Like, he's in the synagogue, and he literally preaches and reads Old Testament. That's what he does when he goes back to his hometown. So we know he reads the word, right? And that's what it means to, that's the way, right? And obviously the love that he shows to these sick people, and the love that he shows to the forgotten, and the love he shows to the person who has been cast aside, right? That's the way. That's the way to eternal life, right? And then you say, well, okay, what would it mean to, right, for him to be the life, right? Like, you know, I've pondered that before. Like, what is that actually? Because, like, in my head, I'm like, I have life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm living with or without God, right? Like, I've had that thought before. So it's like, what would it mean to be alive, right? Like, past what I already have. And it's like new life. You know, that's what it says. It says born again. And so that's what the life is being born of the Spirit. And so it's like going from, you know, my birth of my parents, my human birth, to my birth of God. That's what the life is. It's becoming a son of God, is becoming an adopted, right? Like, I become an adopted son of God, and that's the life. And then the last one's the truth. And the reason I did that last is because I think that one gets so tricky. And I have a great way for me that I heard that I loved, which I can't remember who said it, but I always used to think, like, what does it mean for him to be the truth? And it's like, I get it. He's 100% fully, it's almost full honesty kind of a thing, maybe, you know, like, because he says, right, Satan being the opposite of God, all he can do is tell lies. So the truth would have to mean the opposite of that, right, which is just full honesty, and everything that is God. But my favorite thing I ever heard, and I told this to Wally the other night, like the other week, it's been weeks now since I told him, but this is my best way of relating this as far as God being the truth. So there's this philosopher, scientist, and he says that the first sip of physical science is you'll become an atheist. And basically what he means by that is that at that first sip of physical sciences, you're going to be like, I can explain everything to such an extent that there is no God. And he says, but when you get to the end of that glass, there's no way that you could never believe that there isn't a God. And you'll get a lot of people who think they're pretty smart, but it's because they can only get that first sip, and they'll never get past it. But true geniuses, right, like, they go so deep and so deep and so deep, right? And so basically the idea is that, like, if you were to research an atom, you would only be able to go so far before you would say the only possible explanation is a creator, a creative intelligence so beyond me that could have created this thing, right? So it's like, the truth means that you're, no matter, if you go as deep as you can into the why question, which most people can only go about six times into a why question. If you ask somebody why about six times about anything, that's about as far as they can go. That's what they say. I think maybe even four, actually. Right? And so the idea is that, like, eventually, if you keep asking somebody why, the only explanation they can give you is that there's a creative intelligence, right? And so Jesus is saying he is that God, right, that creator, that he is that truth, that you can only go so far before the only truth that there actually is that there is this, you know, this God, this beyond us. I hope I'm not trying to get so deep that it's like, is it too deep? Okay, because my main goal is just helping people who, because, you know, when I read scripture, I don't know, I like to ponder on this stuff, and it's never out of a place of, like, questioning God, that I don't think he is who he says he is or anything like that. It's just that I have this profound, it's like he is so profound that it's like I feel so close to him, and he gains so much more power to me, and like, the deeper that I get to know him, right? Like, it's just this love that I have, and I think it can be helpful for a lot of people, right? And it's not that difficult. You don't got to be that smart. I'm not that smart. You can actually just meditate on this stuff on your own. Ask yourself the questions when you're reading the scripture. Pray. God will. It says in James, I don't remember the exact verse and chapter. And James isn't that big of a book, so you could find it pretty easily. But it says in James that if you ask God for wisdom, that he'll give it to you. But just do it in a believing heart, that he'll actually give you the wisdom. Right? And you can do that when you read scripture by yourself, you and God. Right? And God will reveal these things to you while you're reading it. God has revealed so much to me just from sitting there reading scripture and then just praying about the stuff that I'm reading, or even if I don't even pray, sometimes I'm just reading, he just reveals it to me. He opens my mind and my heart up to something that I didn't see before, right? And it's like you really do get to experience this side of God that, like, most people will never get to experience. It's so intimate and beautiful when you get to have that, just you and God, like, learning about what does it really mean, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because it's, you can get so deep into it, you know?
Yeah, you got deep. You got real deep right there.
Yeah.
Sheesh. All right, good episode.
I said that's it.
I don't think there's much more we could juice out of 14, 15.
Bro, no, you gotta do the, yes you can, bro. I talk for like 2 more minutes. If you just want to read that, I bet you'll get something.
Should read the rest of it.
Because we read all of this.
What are you talking about, the rest of 14?
Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Read that a little bit.
Alright.
That's dope. If you love me and you keep my commandments. That's actually good. Because you can go into what does it mean to really love God, is you're going to hold his commandments.
Mm, there we go. Alright. Appreciate it, Chris.
Just read the book. Yeah, read the book.
So I'm just going to read to y'all now. So, continuing with chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show them myself. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us, not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, and peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave.
Spooky.
Spooky. Oh, man, my bad. Yeah, but, so just starting it off, you know, if you love me, keep my commands. And, you know what he commanded us? He commanded us to love him, seek him with a full heart, and to love others around us, you know? And in doing that, that's how we receive the love of the Holy Spirit, you know? We accept Jesus, we accept his commands, and we move in that way. And once we get the Holy Spirit guides us, he directs our steps, and he comforts us, you know? Jesus said he's not just leaving us like orphans. You know, he's leaving us in a place of peace, in a place of comfort and protection. And that's all the things we receive from the Holy Spirit. So every day when we start our day, you know, we welcome the Holy Spirit in. And by moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, that's how the world will know the love of God. And we're not called to be like everyone else in this world. You know, we're called to stand out, because when you truly walk in that way of the Holy Spirit, that's when you're bearing the fruit that we were talking about, you know. That's how we're loving in ways that we wouldn't be able to do on our own, you know. Because just me alone is nothing. But me with the Holy Spirit now allows me to be a vessel of God's love. You know, I'm making myself available. I'm willing to do the work that the Holy Spirit leads me to. And through that devotion and obedience, that's when the world gets to experience Jesus in the way that they were experiencing him back then, you know? Like, just because Jesus isn't right here, like, stepping down the street, like, he's right here with you. He's within you, and you are in him. That is what he promised us in his word, you know? And it's deep. It's not always going to make sense, but the more and more you familiarize yourself with this word, the more you meditate on what God has said, the closer it's going to get to your heart, you know? Because God knows your heart. And our goal is to get to know his heart more and more. And his heart has been laid out to us in this word, you know? So I'll just encourage everybody to just spend your time with the word, you know? Get alone with God. Find that time where it's just you and him, you know? Just devote at least 20 minutes a day and watch the wonders that he's going to do through your obedience, you know? But if you're not making that time for him, it's a lot harder for us to see and to feel and to know that he's there, because it's like, we're just calling on him on a little limb. We're just going out on a limb and like, hey, you there? But it's like, our goal is to get to a point where our faith is so strong, like, we don't have to ask if he's there. Like, we know he's always there. We don't always have to feel him. We don't always need that reassurance. His word has said that he's within us if we are within him. And I choose to abide in his love to the best of my ability. Do I do it perfectly? No. But where I'm weak, Spirit of the Lord is strong, you know? When I feel broken, when I feel stuck, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, you know? Bro, I can't stop coughing, dude. I can't even talk.
I was super sick last week. I gave it to Wally, so he's like, we just switched, basically. But my mom listened to the pod last week, and she said, yeah, it was good listening to Wally, because I didn't, like, say nothing, bro. We just switched, basically, it's from last week to this week. That's how it be, though. Sometimes you got to carry. Sometimes it's tough out here.
Put a team on back.
Yeah, that team. That's it. So, only thing, really, before we close out here, I kind of want to – that really just stuck out to me when Wally was reading that. I just kind of reread it. It's, like, for sure, like, keeping his commandments. So, I think – one thing that, like, we can stray away from is, like, yeah, it's faith-based and we're building a relationship and all that stuff. But if we're really building that relationship and we're really building that faith, it shows in the fact that we're holding those commandments, you know, and it's not because anyone's watching or, you know, we're, like, not trying to do it for any other reason other than the fact that we just love Jesus so much, that we love God so much that we want to dwell in that home and to dwell in his presence. But the thing that really stood out to me, right, he says, these things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I think that's so crucial because it's like, especially in today's world, so many people, you know, are anxious about this, that, and the third, and they're nervous about what their future holds. And I've definitely myself gotten into the position of, you know, I'm not where I want to be at, or, you know, I'm nervous that things aren't going to go as I plan them to go, which hopefully they don't. Hopefully there's something better, right? I know that God has a better plan than what I have, right? But one thing that's pointed out over and over again to me is that it's a command from God, right? Like, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He's commanding me, do not be afraid, right? Like, I should take such peace, my peace I give you, right? Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I should take such peace in Jesus, right? When I do feel nervous, I heard it said before, is like, just say his name, like Jesus, right? Like, you just say his name, and it's like, you should feel this kind of peace of, like, he's got me, he's taking care of me, right? I have this eternal salvation that I have through the cross. I have this peace that I get to have with him. I have everything, right? Like, it'll say earlier in Matthew chapter 6. It's the last little part of it, right? It's like, the do not be anxious, because God will take care of all of your needs on this earth, right? Like, he knows you need the things that you that you do need, right? Like, and then on top of that, all the spiritual gifts that we receive through the Holy Spirit, which is those things like peace and joy and you know, our own love, right? Like a heart that isn't hard, and, you know, this feeling that we can be with other people and this connection that we get to feel, right? And so the beauty of the Holy Spirit, and a big part of the beauty of what Jesus did, isn't just what we're going to get to experience when we leave here, right? It says to live is Christ and to die is gain. What that means is that right now here on earth is we're with Christ, right? Like Emmanuel, God is with us. Right now at this very moment, because of what Jesus did, he left us the helper. He, right, like when he goes up to heaven to be with Big Papa, right? when he leaves us the Holy Spirit, right? And then with that Holy Spirit comes all of this gifts and these peace that we can have, and wisdom, right? And the wisdom that we can gain, the godly wisdom, you know. And so that sacrifice was even more, right? Which I won't go too deep into it, right? But that's the whole idea, is that he tears down the veil. And before that, right, there had to be all these sacrifices and all this stuff. The Passover, right? The Passover had to happen for us to have this communication with God. And it was all based on our works. How good we did was how much we got. None of that is anymore. The veil got torn down and we get the Holy Spirit regardless of our works. We get to the max, the fullness of God. We can experience that right now here on earth, you know, just by reading our word and by saying our prayer and by being a servant to other people, right, and caring for other people more than our own selves and loving our enemies and all of this other stuff brings all of this beautiful peace that we get to receive, you know, in this relationship that we get to have, you know. And that's such a beautiful gift that, you know, I think it's I've said it before, but it's like the gifts that are freely given are the ones that are most likely to be taken for granted. And that is a gift that is freely given. And I definitely take it for granted that I can at any time call on him, right? Like in a time of distress. And it's not always that he's going to fix the material world around me. It's not going to happen. But he can fix the war that's going on inside me, you know. And that war that goes on inside of us, it's in every single person. Every single person is having the same war that you're having, right? It's called being a human, right? Like being alive is all that pain that we got that's going on inside. And with Jesus, right, we don't have that. We don't have to have that. It's what separates us from the rest of the world, is that with that Holy Spirit, with Jesus, right, like we get that peace. We get that not being afraid, like truly not being afraid, truly knowing who I am. My identity is that it is not found in anything other than Christ, and that as long as I have that, everything else is okay. Right, the rest of the world's okay. Tomorrow I'm going to wake up the same way that I woke up today. Probably not, actually, going to be dumb tired because I have to wake up stupid early. But that's God's will. God's will. Rejoice in that suffering. And you know what? I'm waking up for a Bible study, so it's actually super rejoice. That reward in heaven. Yeah. Hopefully that reward will be tomorrow. Hopefully I get like some crazy strength and power. Pray for me. No, I definitely, honestly, if you guys take anything away from this, I would definitely suggest opening up John. And before really getting into John, I think just praying and asking that God reveals to you, opens your eyes and your heart up to what John's whole purpose of this is, right, is for us to know who the Son of God is that Jesus is the Son of God, right? Like, really, you know, being able to make that connection with him on that. Because if there's any book that's going to be able to do it, it's going to be the book of John. It's his whole purpose and his whole goal. And especially in this season right now where we're coming up on the greatest act that God did for mankind. The greatest act that anyone has ever done for mankind is what we're coming up on in these next few weeks. You know, no person has done anything close to what Jesus did for us on that cross. And I think this is a great season right now and a great time to really get into John and really just, I mean, dive into it, pray while you're reading it and take time to read you don't got to read a whole book in one night. If you do, great, but you know, you can really take your time and really dive into it and pray and really get each word and each sentence for what it is, you know, building that connection. And then you'll be shocked what God will reveal to you what he will open you up to, right? When you're, and it takes patience. Sometimes it takes that steadfast, and you might not get it all in like one day. But if you continue reading it and stuff, God will reveal things to you. He will open you up, right? He will pierce in your heart. And so I definitely would suggest, if you're not in the book right now, great season right now to get into some John.
Yes, sir. Very nice.
Nice.
Great success. Yeah. Appreciate Chris for carrying the team tonight. Next week we should be all back in you know what I'm saying, good health. Next week, Chris gonna be in Italy. Little Euro trip. So pray for him, you know, safe travels. Pray that he can spread that love, advance that kingdom in Europe too, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure they need it just as much as we do out there. Maybe more, who knows? I don't know. But God does. So let's go ahead and pray out. So close your eyes, bow your head. Dear God, Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, to be able to come here and just speak on your love, Lord, and on your wisdom, Lord. Speak on the truth you have written before us, God. And Lord, the words you have written across our hearts, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that everyone listening tonight, Lord, I pray that they would just receive your glory, God. I pray they would seek your glory and seek your name, God. Lord, I pray that they would find protection in you, find shelter in you, God. Lord, I pray that in your word would bring comfort to the chaos that is in within them and around them, God. Lord, knowing that they don't have to choose the chaos, Lord, but they can choose you. And through you, Lord, all things are possible. In you, all things are possible. And where you are, Lord, there's freedom, God. And the beauty of that is that you are right here within us, Lord, surrounding us, protecting us, Lord. And I thank you for that, Jesus, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for the ultimate sacrifice you made. And, Lord, I pray that in this time, these next few weeks, Lord, as we get up to Easter, God, we would just be so grateful, Lord, every single day when we wake up, Lord. So grateful for the act that you took on, the pain that you took on, Lord, the suffering, Lord, that you were a part of, Lord Jesus, Lord, just so that we could be here and be living, Lord, and have another shot at freedom, God. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We praise you and we thank you. In your almighty name we pray. Amen.